The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Mr. Allen producing and engineering our show today, and we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is President's Day. This is the day that we honor all of the American presidents, Monday, February 19th, 2018. It is not George Washington's birthday, as some people have said to me. Washington's birthday is actually the 22nd. John Munger, and you and I are old enough to remember when we celebrated Washington.
That's right. We used to celebrate Lincoln's birthday on the 12th, as I recall.
We did, and I grew up in Illinois. Yeah. You can imagine what a big deal living in the land of Lincoln was. Yeah.
And then we celebrated again George Washington on the 22nd.
Right.
And for your listeners who don't know, what happened was when we adopted Martin Luther King Day, then we combined those two presidents' birthdays into one birthday and substituted in Martin Luther King Day in January.
Oh, okay. And Vince Robigo, you don't remember Washington's birthday.
Oh, I do remember.
Oh, you do?
Way back. And depending on different states, you had different days. Uh-huh. So, for example, the 12th, like in California, you still had, like in the city of San Diego.
Lincoln.
Back in the 90s, they had that day.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean necessarily that you got a holiday permit on your parking. Yeah, you might still get a ticket depending on I remember looking that up one time. The city holidays that were defined didn't include all the holidays, actually, so you had to be careful.
We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, anytime during the hour. Please give us a call, and we would be delighted to put you on the air. Our Monday political face-off features John Munger. Mr. Munger, a Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents. John is also a former Republican candidate for governor. And Vince Robigo, longtime Democratic Party activist. Vince is a former Arizona Attorney General candidate and former head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. And Vince, coming up at 12:45, we'll be speaking with January Contreras. Ms. Contreras, as you know, is running as the Democratic candidate. Well, I'm not sure if she's being primaried, but she's running for attorney general on the Democratic side. She was, I believe, was in Janet Napolitano's office.
She was. January is a tremendous candidate. She was in Janet Napolitano's office. Then she was also previously a criminal prosecutor prior to that. At the county level. Then when Janet Napolitano went to Washington, D.C., she joined her in Washington, D.C. at the Department of Homeland Security. Mm. So she worked at the federal level as well before returning back to Arizona, where she started a nonprofit to assist in fighting trafficking of women and domestic violence issues, if I remember correctly. So she certainly has a wide breadth of experience. And is eminently qualified to run that office, and is running a very aggressive campaign across the state already. Yeah. So I believe she's doing a kickoff this Friday. I'm not sure where, here in Tucson.
Yeah, I think Friday. But anyway, we'll find out from her at 12:45. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Before we get to our topic about the Russian interference in the 2016 elections, John and Vince, I was reading that former Vice President Joe Biden is thinking seriously of 2020, running for president. John, he would be 78 years old if he were to win, and he's kind of hinting that it'd be a one-term deal. And that he would just be kind of in there for the one term because of his age, I guess. But do you think he would be a formidable candidate?
Oh, yeah. I think Joe Biden would be a formidable candidate. He's a good retail politician. People like him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to campaign. So, yeah, I think he'd be a formidable candidate.
What do you think, Vince?
I do. I do think he'd be a formidable candidate. So we'll see what happens. He's, as with a lot of elected officials or possible candidates, they mention their interest, and he certainly has mentioned his interest.
Many times.
Many times, like two, at least two times prior. Yeah. And so, you know, the thing with those sorts of elections, and really with any sort of election, as I'm sure John can attest to, it has to be the right time.
Right.
You have to be in a place on a personal level where you can do it, and it also has to be the right time electorally in relation to what's happening, who else is running, who else might be running. There's a lot of factors that go into all of that, and, you know, you can't just run for the sake of running, just to, you know, put a different office under your belt. It has to be for the right reason.
And presumably he'd have a younger person coming in as his vice presidential pick. So, yeah.
Yes, yes. No, but I certainly he would be formidable.
You know,
there's plenty that would be formidable.
Mm-hmm. One of the interesting parts about that is if you announced to run for one term, how would the public receive that? Would people think that's good? Or would people say, nah, we want somebody with a longer-term plan? You know,
right.
It's hard to tell.
I don't know. I don't recall anyone ever saying they would just serve one term.
No, I don't either.
I mean, other than Lyndon Johnson,
who was in the middle of a term
when he said he wouldn't run for another term.
I think James Polk did.
Really?
But
a little bit of President's Day history there.
Yeah.
James Polk, huh?
Yeah.
And he had said just one term.
I'm recalling.
All right.
That's best recollection.
Okay. How about this FBI saying that the Russian nationals, 13 of them, I believe, were charged, interfered in our 2016 elections, John and Vince. Are the American elections in danger, in your opinion, John?
Well, the Russians have been doing this for a long time. They spent less than $2 million doing this time. Sure. I mean, we don't want to have our elections interfered with by anybody from any foreign country. So I think we need to try to do something about it. And I'm glad that they were indicted. I don't think there'll ever be a trial because they're not going to be extradited to the United States. It's more of a show indictment, and there's speculation about what happens next. But sure. I think we need to do everything we can to make it clear that we're going to crack down on people that try to interfere, foreigners that try to interfere with our elections. I think it's very important.
And Vince, they were trying, it wasn't just buying like Facebook and social media. They were actually putting on demonstrations one against the other in some cases.
That's my understanding.
Pitting Americans against each other.
Yeah. And the reality is, and I don't know if these were the words used in the indictment, but it is serious, whether it's 2 million or 20 million. And I don't know that we know the actual extent of it, that we know that that's what's represented in this indictment, because there are plenty of ways that people can hide money. And with the way our electoral system has slid into this sort of free-for-all, where this dark money or dirty money never has to be reported, we have no idea that there couldn't have been millions spent through alleged nonprofits and then spent in other ways. But the reality is the words that have been used to describe this by DOJ officials at some point, I believe, is that this is information warfare and that we are under attack. And so the problem with that is that voting and voters, they vote their ballot based on their beliefs, based on their perceptions and understandings of what's happening and public opinion as to candidates. And so when you are engaging in information warfare and you target whether it's a candidate or voters to not vote, for example, you can shift races by just shifting small percentage points that can tip certain races by either suppressing votes. Mm-hmm. And so it's not always the case of, you know, the people are going to get hung up. Oh, it didn't get Trump over the top, or they've not said that. That's not the point of what the reports that came out last year, as well as this indictment. They're not assessing what impact it had. But the fact is that we know it can impact races different ways. It's not that it necessarily convinced hordes of people to, to vote one certain way. Mm-hmm. But all you need to do is shift balances in races downward or upward, and you can change power. Now why this is very critical and important is that elections are done at the state and local level. And Congress, it's probably been over 16 years, and they 16 years ago, Congress had something like $400 million of leftover funds and election update funds they were going to give out to the states. They haven't given out that money from 16 years ago. So the matter has been largely left to the states and counties and local entities that run these elections. They understand that the federal government, they do not run our elections. Every state, every county, they run their own. They work in coordination with the state. And there are different levels of security that are undertaken. And it's very easy. If you recall, 12 years ago on HBO, there was a documentary called Hacking Democracy, mm-hmm. and showed how easy it was with the way that our system has changed from the tabulation system. Now, after you mark your ballot, it's run through an electronic system.
Well,
and then it creates a database based on a black box, and it can be easily altered.
Well, let's not confuse the listeners. There's no evidence that the Russians got into the voting booths and the tabulation systems.
I didn't say that.
So that really isn't the issue. The issue is that they were putting out propaganda. My view, let me tell you my view. I think that what the Russians were doing, everybody expected Hillary to win. Mm-hmm. They were trying to destabilize our democracy. Given the fact that, excuse me, everybody thought Hillary was going to win, they were trying to make her look bad. Excuse me. They weren't trying to help Trump. They were trying to hurt Hillary. That's where I think we are. And let me point out another troubling item. The United States itself has done this recently.
Really?
In several countries. We've done it in Israel. We tried to defeat Obama tried to defeat Netanyahu in his election. We've done it in Central European countries, as I recall, Hungary and Ukraine. And so we need to be careful about being sanctimonious about this. It is done worldwide. That isn't to say it's right, and that is not to say we shouldn't try to protect our democracy. But I think that it's important that we understand what the Russians were trying to do. They were trying to destabilize our system and make the person that everybody thought was going to be president, make that person look as bad as possible and weaken that person.
All right, Vince, before you respond, we're going to take our break, a couple
sure.
of minutes past where we should take the break. But it's 12:17, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. If you'd like to join in the discussion, 790-2040. We're talking about Russian influence in American elections. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we'll visit with the new head of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. Also, a newsmaker interview with State Representative Todd Clodfelter. Buckmaster airs during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI. Got our worldwide live listening on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, Bill Buckmaster with Vince Robigo and John Munger. Vince, it's your turn, and I do want to say that this Political Face-Off, our Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Vince, it's your turn. John was saying that really the Russians were expecting Hillary to win.
Well, I think everyone, people were prognosticating that. But I do have to disagree with John. It's not just about propaganda. As we know from reports from Department of Homeland Security last year, and we don't know the information because a lot of it's classified and some of it's been disputed. But they reported, and I think they just reported it again, one of the spokesperson this week, reported that 21 states had been the subject of attempts to hack into either voting database systems at various
ours.
States. Correct. But then, you know, last November or October, when Secretary of State Reagan met with some federal investigators and had some sort of briefing, she later said, well, that they couldn't confirm it. But then again today, I think it was today, one of the Homeland Security folks said no, that there had been 21 states that had been targeted, but and that several, and they didn't say how many, had been successful. So it is more than just propaganda that we have to worry about. That's why I brought up these issues.
Oh, I agree with that.
These issues of—
We got to worry about hacking into our systems.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And so it's an important thing. You have to look at both the security and the transparency aspects. And so security meaning who has access, or is data transmitted electronically? And of course, this is something that has to be looked at across the country in every jurisdiction. You'll recall that back when I was the chair of the Democratic Party, that there was a lawsuit trying to get public access to ballots regarding an election that had happened. And ultimately, it was a long, hard-fought battle. and regarding access to declare those public records of, and this is not how you as vote as an individual. So you don't, we don't know how Bill voted or how John voted, but just access to the databases themselves. And ultimately it was, they were declared to be public records. It was a hard fought battle, and it was uncomfortable, but it was important. I know uncomfortable in the sense that it was a democratically controlled board of supervisors, but to their credit after the fact, they created then election integrity commission, whereby members of the board of supervisors appointed members to overview the process, to make sure that it's secure. And this was of course on the heels of that documentary I mentioned earlier. So fast forward to today, we have to take those sorts of efforts to make sure that, that the systems are secure. And there are some really simple efforts that you could do to make these transparent. So your ballot, which doesn't have your name on it, they should make those digital images that are created when they scan these available. Because then it's very easy to track. You don't know how anybody voted in particular, but then you can make sure it's not different from those registered voters that were purportedly cast ballots. Security and transparency is very important.
There's a lot of things that can be done. And the good news is that there's no evidence that they successfully, the Russians successfully hacked in the last election. The bad news is that they tried. The other good news is that fortunately our electoral system is usually county by county. So it's so decentralized that it would be very difficult to do a meaningful hack. However, it would be if I were going to hack, I would focus on very close states, go into one or two counties where you could turn the state's electoral votes by turning a county or two and hack into those counties. So you don't have to hack the whole system. You only have to hack key counties. But the good news is they're not going to be able to hack probably our whole system. And I think that our electoral officials nationwide in every county and every state are onto it now. So they ought to be able to prevent it from happening as it was prevented in the last election.
It might make a national vote where there's been a lot of talk about doing away with the Electoral College and having just a popular vote. Now, that would seem to be more susceptible to be a hack target.
Well, that's never going to happen, Bill, because of the Constitution. I mean, you can never go to a direct popular vote because the Constitution was laid out. That was the compromise that got the Constitution passed, where you don't have a popular vote. You have a vote of electoral votes for the president and vice president. So that's never going to happen. And I think with this hacking potential in there, we're far better off to continue with these decentralized election systems rather than create something where you just have to hack successfully once and then you can upset the whole national system.
Well, I agree that may be a difficult road to hoe to change the Constitution. Not impossible, depending on what the public will is. But on top of that, like I said, it's not just the election infrastructure. You have to then have transparency on the other side of it. And it, our systems have changed from the old days where everything was just on paper ballots. And then, you know, you punched a hole and the paper ballots were maintained. Now they just get fed through a scanner and then it creates like an Excel database. And that's where the security systems, if you have access to it, you can easily just go in there and flip columns. So there has to be enough security and there has to be efforts on the monetary side whereby we have increased efforts to restrict undisclosed funds that are being spent on elections because we don't know where they're coming. Right now, the way it stands is a foreign power could make a tremendous donation, which doesn't have to be reported, to a 501c3 entity, which then claims that it doesn't engage in more than 51% of electoral activity and therefore doesn't have to report anything, and then it spends all that money on trying to influence an election. That is lawful right now. I don't think it's right. I think it twists the system. But so in Arizona, we have this outlaw the dirty money initiative that has been proposed by former Attorney General Terry Goddard. We need to embrace these efforts at transparency as one of the other cornerstones of this effort, I believe.
Now, let me raise something that's
real quickly, because we've got two callers, John, in about 1 minute.
Going to be very controversial here.
Okay.
But foreign powers are not just the Russians. You could use Mexico, for example, could use its illegals here, or El Salvador, or some of these countries could use their illegals here to try to influence our elections by voting illegally.
All right. Carl has been waiting very patiently. Go ahead, Carl. Just about out of time. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not interested in the Russians, all right, because of all the things that have been brought up. Elections are so decentralized and everything else. I am much more concerned about who counts the votes. You take a look at Chicago. You take a look at some of the stuff in Texas. You take a look at some of the stuff that happened here in Arizona, like in Tucson with the bond issue that everybody was concerned about, but that was your lawsuit. I'm more interested in getting transparency and accountability at the local level for that type of thing.
Well, yeah, and that's a good question. Let me tell you, and Vince will support me on this, I think, is we have, every time votes are counted down at the county, the Republicans are there and the Democrats are there. I think it's pretty transparent here in Pima County. Do you agree, Vince?
Well, it certainly is a lot more transparent than it was. And that was one of the issues was, for example, that part of the basis for that lawsuit back, you know, some 12 years ago, was that there was evidence that showed that when the counting observers left, that government an official went back in and you could see the computer proof that that had happened. Right. So it is very, the caller raises a very important point, and it is all, there's not just this outside medley, which is critical to stop, but also who counts is also certainly very important.
And a quick question, another caller, does Vince support voter ID?
It has never been shown that kind of issue has resulted in massive voter fraud. It actually ends up suppressing elderly and poor people more than it does any good.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
I disagree.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com on Facebook, presenting our Monday political face-off. John Munger, hope you have a great week.
You too.
And Vince Robigo, always a pleasure.
Same here.
Right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours.
The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive over to a lovely environment, historic Silver City. So much to do over there. Great recreation opportunities. The complete list of places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Well, there is still plenty of time to save on your Arizona taxes. Contributions to a qualifying organization between January 1st and April 17th may be claimed as a credit on either your 2017 or 2018 tax return. We're going to talk about things you need to know about claiming an Arizona tax credit for donations to a qualifying foster care or charitable organization. We have three guests representing three fine nonprofits here in the Tucson area. Alan Stockelberg is the regional manager for Teen Outreach Pregnancy. Deborah Carr is here. Deborah is Philanthropy and Public Relations Director for Interfaith Community Services, and also Scott Matlick, the Development Manager of Ronald McDonald House Charities here in Southern Arizona. Thank you all for being with us.
Thanks, Bill, for having us.
Scott, let's begin with you. Why is this important to what you do over at Ronald McDonald?
Well, you know, like a lot of nonprofits around Pima County in Southern Arizona, we are funded through our local donations. I think with Ronald McDonald House in particular, it might be a misnomer out there that we're corporately funded when it's really, 98% of our money comes from local citizens.
Yeah, like people would say, well, McDonald's, certainly they could afford this.
But right, exactly. And for most of us, that's just not how it works. We're reliant upon the good graces of the people that live around us, and we have causes that hopefully are near and dear to their hearts and directly affect the people that live in our city. And so the tax credit is a wonderful way to give back without hurting your pocket very much.
Deborah Carr of the Interfaith Community Services, explain to our listeners how this tax credit works.
It's a dollar-for-dollar credit off of what you owe to the state of Arizona on your Arizona charitable, on your Arizona tax taxes. So if you are a single person filing, you can receive up to $400. And if you are a couple filing jointly, it would that amount would be up to $800.
And how important is it to Interfaith Community Services to have this support? And you're part, all three of you are part of a coalition of, I believe, about 30 nonprofits who have come together to try to get some public awareness of what's going on here.
It's extremely important to us at Interfaith Community Services. We are serving over 41,000 individuals a year, helping them with preventing homelessness, hunger, unemployment, isolation, and we receive the majority of our funding comes directly from individuals. And without these donations, it becomes very difficult for us to keep our programs going. So it really helps your local community, and at the same time is gives you a break on your taxes.
Let's bring Alan Stockelberg into the conversation. Alan, Regional Manager for Teen Outreach Pregnancy. What about your services? How big a deal is this charitable tax credit, Alan?
Well, this is a big deal, as we're seeing lots of programs that go to help both teen pregnancy prevention and support of young families. We're seeing a lot of those disappear at the federal and state levels. So tax credits like this and donations like this from our community are just so important in being able to keep us running and keep supplying the services to our clients that are desperately needed out there.
So, Alan, explain to our listeners, so can you choose one category, schools or charity, or how does this work? Can you make one donation within each category?
That's correct. So you actually have five different categories that you can donate to. And so I don't know the numbers on the others, but ours is 400 for individuals, 800 for couples. But you can also donate to your schools, your private mm-hmm. schools, your foster care,
uh-huh.
and then there's the military as well, right? So you have those five different categories. And so our organization falls under the qualified charitable organization.
And your organization helps how many folks in the community, would you say?
Oh, my goodness. I think right now we're at about 50 families that are going through our program at the moment, but that's we also have a lot more that have gone through and still receive services through us.
Scott Matlick, let's bring you back into the conversation at Ronald McDonald House Charities. Is this a year-round activity for you as far as the services that you provide to families?
Most definitely. So for those who may be unfamiliar, Ronald McDonald House, one of the main things that we do is provide emergency shelter for families who are coming into Tucson for medical care for their child, whether that child be a newborn or all the way through 21 years old. We also have some services at Diamond Children's Medical Center, Banner facility on campus, near campus, as well as a couple other things that we're doing. And so, unfortunately, none of us can help to prevent when a child gets sick, and so they utilize our services all year long, the summer especially. We find that our services increase more when school is out and elective surgeries and things like that tend to rise a little bit. So, right now we've got more than a dozen families who are staying with us at the house, and that can be go all the way up to double that in the summertime.
Do you pick up the cost for these folks?
Entirely.
Wow.
It's no cost for families to stay at the Ronald McDonald House. All of our services are able to be offered for free specifically because of things like the Arizona State Tax Credit. Like Alan was mentioning before, you can take advantage of all five of those tax credits. And in fact, if you maxed them all out, you could get more than $4,000 back on your state tax returns.
Really?
You could. At the same time, if you only need a $5 or a $10 return, you could do that as well. Anything up to the maximum is going to help our organizations, large or small.
Where do folks go for more information?
So the best place to go is givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's the Arizona State, Southern Arizona Tax Credits Coalition. That's the 30 nonprofits that you mentioned before who are banding together to help educate the public as to what they can do and how they can feel great about giving back to their preferred local organization. So that's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Deborah Carr, let's bring you back into the conversation. What kind of services year-round do you provide throughout the community with Interfaith Community Services?
We provide a total umbrella of services and interworking services that help people get back to a position of stability. Those that are in crisis, we provide short-term rental assistance. We have a food bank, actually two food banks in town that help people with emergency food. We also help people get more employable through job
resume
assistance, interview coaching, and we also help with things like utility assistance, back-to-school supplies for the children, just a complete undergirding for someone who's in crisis to get out of that ditch, if you will, and back into a position of self-sufficiency. And I might add, that's a cost savings for the community as well, helping mm-hmm. people get back on their feet again and not having to rely on public assistance.
Ellen Stockelberg, with teen outreach, pregnancy, these kids must be real scared that come to you, right?
There's a fair amount that are
confused and scared or what?
And yes, we definitely see a lot that are that way. And that's why we provide a lot of education and support, mm-hmm. especially just around pregnancy itself, that a lot of people are afraid of what's going to happen to their bodies, a lot of the young moms. So we provide a lot of education to let them know that what's normal, what's to expect, and then as well as providing them support through the childbirth and parenting process.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get, as we wrap this up, Scott Matlick at Ronald McDonald again. Folks should go where?
So they should go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. You're going to see all the organizations that are part of the Tax Credit Coalition on that website. You'll have links to more information about each organization, direct links to the donate page. You'll be donating directly to the organization that you care about, not to the coalition. We're just grouping together to try to educate a little bit and then have that money go straight to the causes that you care about.
Once you make the donation, how do you get the credit? I mean, is this pretty seamless, transparent?
It is. It's really easy. It's just like any other donation that you might make. And then when tax season comes around, so for the next couple of months or when you get to the end of the year, you just report it on your taxes. There are some forms listed on that givelocalkeeplocal.org website that can help you there. But most importantly, talk to your tax advisor. And we would suggest that you do so before making these donations because everybody's situation is going to be unique.
And where can people find more about Ronald McDonald House Charities?
Right. So you can find us on that givelocalkeeplocal.org, mm-hmm. or if you want to go directly to the Ronald McDonald House, go to rmhctucson.org. That's for our local Ronald McDonald House. All of the money stays local here to support the Tucson House. That's rmhctucson.org.
And Alan, where can people find out more about your organization?
Our website can be at teenoutreachaz.org, but mm-hmm. there is also links, as Scott said, to all of our organizations on givelocalkeeplocal.org.
How about you, Deborah? Would you like to make a quick plug on where folks can find out more about Interfaith Community Services?
Yes, that's at tucson.org.
Perfect. Congratulations to all of you on the work you're doing in our community, and thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you. And we just would like to add that have only until April 15th to make this donation.
Very important.
If you're planning to do it, now's the time.
All right. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. This portion presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River Walk, on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Go to their website for all the information about their great free workshops that they hold every weekend over at Green Things. Let's welcome now January Contreras. Ms. Contreras is running as a Democrat for Arizona Attorney General. January, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the chance to be here with you.
Well, I'd love to introduce you to our audience. You are a former Assistant Attorney General for the Office of the Attorney General. I believe you served under Janet Napolitano, correct?
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
So I'm an Arizonan, I'm a mom, I'm an attorney, and a longtime public servant. I am from Phoenix, but my roots are really from southern Arizona. My dad's family's from Bisbee, and my mom's is from Tubac and Tucson and Nogales, so have a special love for the area. And I went to the U of A, both as an undergrad and for law school.
What is the marquee issue, as far as you're concerned, in this race for Arizona's top legal official?
I think the marquee issue, and what I hope people will pay close attention to, is not only hiring someone who's experienced, and I am. I've been a county prosecutor. I've been an assistant attorney general, both in the criminal division, as you mentioned, advising governor and secretary Napolitano, and started a legal aid organization when I was done with those. I think the marquee issue that I want people to look at, besides the experience, is making sure that the attorney general is serving people and not political interests. What we see right now is, we see litigation that's anti-LGBTQ. We see litigation defending ExxonMobil. We see these things happening at the same time as your Southern Arizona Consumer Protection Office was shut down. And what I hope people will demand as they move forward is an attorney general who is not looking for you know, political issues and what's going to get them to the next political job that they're watching, but in fact, what's happening in people's homes and lives and in our community right now, where the Attorney General can be a partner to local communities throughout the state, not just in Maricopa County, but in southern Arizona and northern Arizona and rural areas. It's not the time to be shutting down the Consumer Protection Office in southern Arizona, especially when, you know, consumer rights and protections are being rolled back at high levels right now.
Would you be very visible if you are elected Arizona Attorney General? And I bring this up because Mr. Brnovich, the current Attorney General, was very visible, at least to the media here in southern Arizona. And then after being elected, he seems to have disappeared.
Huh. Well, absolutely. I mean, basically the model should be the same. When you're campaigning, you know, we have a schedule. We're making sure that we're in southern Arizona several times a month, or making sure that we're in other counties throughout this campaign. And it is the same way when you govern. I mean, I worked for Governor Napolitano. Not only did her schedule reflect the entire state, because that's who she served, but ours did too as staffers. So that's the way I was brought up. Every person in this state counts the same. They deserve access to our services. I was out in Sierra Vista earlier in 2017 and kept hearing from people how they missed having the Attorney General show up once a month or every once a couple of months at the library. They had grown accustomed to be able to come in, asking their questions, getting resources, and that's not there anymore either. So it's that kind of stuff where people need to know the Attorney General is there for them, and that is true throughout the state. I'm very committed to that.
Well, people can say whatever they want about Tom Horn, whether you are Republican or Democrat. He at least was very visible and was all over the place when he was involved as being in the AG's office. Mm. And as school superintendent, he was all over the place. But tell me a little bit about consumer fraud. Is that going to be one of your issues?
Absolutely. And consumer protection, it's one of the bread and butter issues for the Attorney General. Quite frankly, we have this really great legacy. It's not going on right now, but we will bring it back. We have led national initiatives around consumer protection, and in fact, recouped millions and millions of dollars. And so we have line attorneys now at the AG's office who are there and committed to doing their job. And, you know, we want them to rise again. We want them to be able to bring forward their best and their brightest ideas. We're going to reopen that Southern Arizona Consumer Protection Office. And, you know, we have a lot of seniors in Arizona, and seniors are always disproportionately targeted for fraud, for exploitation. And so we need to make sure that we, again, are having a lot of presence on the ground so that people can find us and tell us what's going on, and we can stop things happening very early once we find out about them.
We're speaking with January Contreras. She is running for Arizona Attorney General. She is a Democrat. I got to ask you about your first name. Am I assuming that you were born in January?
That's a good assumption. Yeah. My name on my birth certificate is January Joy. So my mom was a happy woman.
I guess so, yeah. We've got time for a couple of more issues, and I know you care very much about this horrible human traffickers situation that we have in this country.
It is it's so shocking, because we think we have this stereotype of what human trafficking is. And it so often involves, you know, smuggling people into our country. And that absolutely happens as well. But we have a lot of trafficking going on right here in our own communities of both U.S. citizen and foreign national victims. In southern Arizona, we have SATURN, which is the Southern Arizona Task Force, so to speak, around human trafficking, that involves local law enforcement as well as behavioral health providers and nonprofits and faith-based organizations. And that's just developed over the last couple of years, and it's I think you probably are seeing some of the results of that. I know that I have. It's being where this trafficking starts. And for U.S. citizen survivors, it very often starts when kids are in the foster care system and they're either running away from the foster care system or they become young adults and they're homeless. That's when they're most vulnerable to being recruited, and they think they're in a relationship. They think they've found a boyfriend who's taking care of them. And the next thing you know, it's turned into something completely different.
All right. And, January Contreras, where can people find out more about you?
So I have a website up. It's www.January4AZ.com. And I would love for people to learn more, pay attention to this race, and make sure they're choosing someone who's going to fight for them.
All right. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check expands to 2 full hours starting today, right? Ray Allen will be on the other side of the glass with Mike. 4 to 6, Mike Check, the expanded edition, beginning and premiering today. Give it a listen. I think you will enjoy it. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. We'll meet the new head of the Tucson Metro Chamber tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.